You guys should join up as co-managers. We'll have fun.
No.
Score sheet almost ruined my marriage.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to your favorite pastime as we wait for a lockout to end. It's Under the Radar! With me, as always, my friend and yours, Ian Kai.
Hello, my friends.
Your friend of mine, Derek Barber.
Hello.
Good times, I guess. I mean, you know, whatever. We're still going to do a show. We're still going to have some fun. We're still going to give fantasy advice.
For sure. It's a busy time.
Yeah, I don't think much is going to change. Like, I'm under the impression that there could be secret meetings and a deal struck, you know, within the next 10 days. So I think the backlash has been so terrible that, I mean, I could be way wrong. Maybe that's just the optimist in me.
What do you think, DVR?
I am just mad. I don't think people need me to be mad right now, so I feel like I should just not opine on the matter.
Be strong for everyone else, DVR. That's selfless of you.
It's all right. Okay.
He's saving his rant for Race and Barrels. I think that's really what this is about.
Maybe he's already done it. Have you already done
yeah,
it?
Exactly. No, they record after us. This is Wednesday this week. We're going early.
Oh, okay.
See, that's the schedule has changed. It has been recorded already. So,
all right. So you've already done your rant about that.
Tuesday, well, we're recording on Wednesday, and this show will come out Friday morning, but
I already can't follow, and I know the schedule. Anyway, what happened?
everything's a mess right now. So, you know, on Tuesday, when we found out that there was going to be at least a small delay and possibly a longer delay, I think I was on fire for most of the day, not on podcasts, which is great, because you should not vent on podcasts if you can help it. And I feel really bad for anybody who was within earshot of me all day Tuesday, because I was just mad at the world. And, you know, that's not a good, healthy place to be.
No, there's a lot, and there's a lot of big feelings going on for good reason. All right, well, so, all right, Nando, how do you feel about it?
I don't care. I don't know why. Like, I'm not fired up. I'm not anything about it. I'm just like, let's just, you know, let's get on with things.
I care, and I've been sort of staying away from it the whole time. And then I sent you guys a tweet that I had not tweeted, which sounds so, like, small. A tweet. I did a tweet.
You rehearsed your tweets with us.
No, I didn't. No, I just,
You get a feel for the room, and they're like, oh, yeah, maybe I won't put this one out.
You guys didn't say anything about it. You didn't say, wow, that's good, or wow, that's misspelled. Nothing.
I didn't know you were practicing on it.
Well, no, I wasn't. What happened
was,
I was going to tweet out something, and then I was like, I don't really want to. So I was like, I'll send it to the guys, because then I'll at least just tell you guys how I'm feeling about this. And then this morning, I was like, you know what? I'm going to pull that back. I'm a big copy and paste fan. Like, I like putting notes and some other stuff. And then I'm like, oh, there it is. Okay, boom, pop. And so this morning, I was like, you know what? And I'm going to read my tweet. If baseball wasn't such an integral part of my life at this point, I would make a commitment to step away from watching and attending baseball. I'm not willing to make that move. But there are a lot more people who are less entwined with the game. The owners have misstepped. Because those are my feelings. If this wasn't like a major part of my life, fantasy baseball, I'd be like, screw you guys, I'm going home.
Yes.
I'm going home. Yes. I don't need you. You know what I mean? Like, you guys suck. And frankly, just this is from my perspective, and everyone can have their own opinion. I respect your opinion with your opinion. But I felt like the owners are being, let's put it this way. I found Rob Manfred's press conference unappealing. So I look at it as the owners have made this choice. Well, no, it's not that I look at it that way. The owners have made this choice. In 1984, the players chose to go on strike. So screw you, players. You're going home. Well, now the owners have chosen to lock out the players. So, you know, it's like one of those things, like whose fault is it? Well, who started it? He started it. Well, we know who started it this time. The owners started it. The players are coming in with a bit of an attitude because they feel 5 years ago that they were not handled appropriately. And now we're having a fight about it. And unfortunately, for the first time, as COVID is lessening, certainly, and we could have a full baseball season and some sense of normalcy. I just, you know, if I was not so deeply entwined with baseball, I'd be like, you know what? I'm not going to follow baseball this year. That's how I would feel about it. And that tends to be how I look at, like, political candidates. Like, I can look at a political candidate, and even if I don't agree with him, and I go, oh, I kind of like him, or I kind of like her, it gives me the idea that how other people might be feeling too. So all that tweet was saying, I think that there are going to be a lot more seats available at Yankee Stadium that you can get real cheap for the next couple of years and maybe for the next generation.
No, people, it's not, no one's going to change. Everyone's going to still come to games.
Maybe, maybe. I know that every time there
people
was a
gonna
strike.
People aren't going to boycott. Like five people are going to boycott.
No, I don't think they'll boycott. I just think that they'll go, ah, screw you guys, I'm going home. Which is a good title of this episode. Screw you guys, I'm going home.
Well, you can't, I mean, it's scientifically, you can't prove anything because we're still technically in a pandemic and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know what it's going to look like to begin with.
Look, the game is not as beloved as football or basketball. Can we agree with that? I mean, I agree. I believe that. That baseball, when I was a kid growing up, baseball was the number one sport. When I was like, you know, basketball wasn't, certainly. And football wasn't. It was baseball. Baseball was the national pastime. Baseball is no longer the national pastime. Football is the national pastime. People aren't as excited for opening day in baseball as they are for football. Not even close. Basketball is much more beloved than baseball at this point. So you're taking a smaller, you know, audience and you're making them mad. I don't know. At least they're making me mad. They made me mad. I just thought, wow, you know, the night before when they're like, hey, we're really close. I was like, you know what? If they could pull this off, that would be great. With everything else going on in this wide world, wouldn't it be great if we could actually start baseball on time? It's like, yeah, we can't even do that, can we? Okay. All right. I don't care as much, but I do. Ian Kahn, personally, I have a podcast that I do with Derek Van Riper and Nando DeFino. I play Whoa. In many fantasy baseball leagues. I talk the game. So many of my friends are, you know, it's a major part of my social world is fantasy baseball. So I'm not going to give it up out of spite. But again, I think there are a lot of people out there, maybe people who aren't listening to the show this week, who are like, you know what, whatever, fix your crap. I'm going to go watch Netflix. I'm going to go watch this, you know, miniseries instead. And I would respect the hell out of that.
Canceled Netflix this week, by the way.
Did you know? You
may want to. I mean, there's nothing good on.
Well, you may want to bring that back because baseball is going to be gone. Not that you care that much, but for me, it's too bad. It's too bad. So, you know, it's too bad. It's not great. So that's my rant, so to speak. I think it was.
I was joking when I said we budgeted 20 minutes for you up top. To
okay, well, I took it anyway.
That he took that very literally.
I did. I gave it 9. Yeah, 6 minutes.
And then snuck in a Nando, which is.
Did I call you Nando?
Anything, yeah. Did even DVR, Nando? DVR didn't even correct you, which is more hurtful.
Did I say Nando DeFino?
I haven't spoken since he did it.
Sorry. Well. There you go.
I'm saving it for an appropriate time to be named later.
I am going to hold off on speaking for the next 12 minutes to make up for my 6 minutes there. How's that sound?
No, please, man. We promised you 20. Go ahead.
No, I'm good. I'm done.
No, Yondo made a great rundown.
Yeah, he actually did.
It did not. It was a very selfish rundown.
That's a good
thing.
At least
that.
There's things to discuss, so it's pretty exciting. I'm ready to go whenever you are.
Well, first of all, I'd like to shout out everybody who left the reviews. We had six reviews. Only one was Marty Decker is the effing man. That was funny. Like, I didn't want people to just, you know, like, be. It's touching and it's actually very beautiful. And thank you for all the nice things everybody said on there. But it's awkward. You know, I didn't want to like beg for people to say nice
really?
Things.
Really? Because you kind of begged for everybody to say really nice
about
things.
About you. I wanted to hear nice things about Ian.
Nobody.
The reviewers are kind of. There's some unfair arrows slung
okay.
Ian's way.
I've been a professional. I was a professional actor for a very, very long time. I received many, many reviews. I remember some of the bad ones, and you kind of learn to live with it. It's just the way it is.
You know, it's always nice if people can just bounce it out for you. Who likes?
I appreciate that, but look, man, if everybody likes you, you're doing something wrong.
All right,
how about that? If everybody likes you, you're doing it wrong. You gotta make a wave in the world, and when you make a wave, it makes people mad. I respect it. I understand it. I understand what the parameters are. I'm good with it. We
all
do
right,
have
so
one problem
show.
Though. But wait, we what? Do have a problem. Everybody freaking loves DVR. So what are you doing wrong, DVR? Everybody.
I think
loves
there
you.
Was a review somewhere in there that called the host monotone.
That was you, dude.
I'm not monotone.
Anyway,
there was a football show, I think, where I got tagged with that.
Oh, did you? Okay, good.
The host is monotone and he only wants to talk about baseball. And I'm like, what episode was that?
That is definitely
That's
you.
Definitely not representative of what that show normally is. But okay.
Hey, man, good. So there you go. We're all good. We all have a little bit of people not liking us is a good thing. It really is. And there are a lot of people who do like us, which is great. And we're grateful to you for taking the time and seeing that our podcast is in your feed and going, yeah, I want to listen to that.
Enough about us.
Yeah, please.
Let's talk about our teams. So we got a bunch of drafts going on at the same time right now.
We really do.
Big industry news. What was that?
I don't know. Go ahead. Go ahead. I was just saying I want to hear your tout wars.
Oh, you know what that was? That was an air horn that I guess only I could hear because I'm up in the fan tracks. I have my fan tracks window open. I'm up in tout wars right now.
Tout wars.
Tout wars.
How Thank are you.
Weirdo tout say wars. It. Hold on. I got to pick real quick because I don't want
labor.
Labor. Actually, that's right. Funny. What if we
Jack
did it that
Flaherty,
way?
Welcome to the squad. Live Jack pick of Jack Flaherty.
What pick did you take Jack Flaherty? What round did you take him?
Round six, pick number six in a 15-team league.
So that would be like 96. Okay. I also took Jack Flaherty.
I'm sorry. It was 81, actually.
81. Okay. I took Jack Flaherty with the 106th pick.
All right. Well, I guess I could have waited.
I don't know. Apparently, if you were in this league, what other pitchers were available? What other pitchers were available?
That's the question. Yeah, who else was still out there?
Luis Castillo was there. Yeah, I like Flaherty better. I think they're Flaherty's got strikeouts. Castillo's had up and down. Whatever. The Ian special, but I think he's going to last. He's actually my cue is Frankie Montas, Alec Manoah, Trevor Rogers, Yu Darvish, Shane McClanahan,
mm-hmm.
Tyler Molly.
Was Logan Webb there?
Justin Verlander. I don't think so. I don't see him.
Logan Webb fell in my TGFBI quite far. I passed on him.
TGFBI, by the way, is the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational. For those of you who don't know, it's a huge, Justin Mason runs it. It's a billion people are in it. Experts, regular people. It's Scott Fishbowl for baseball, basically, if you're into the football side of things. That's all. I think that's a good explanation of it. 5x5, Roto.
5x5, Roto. DVR, yep. You have anything? DVR, you got it. We got to get the ball to DVR because I have something I really want to say about Logan Webb and Kevin Gausman, but it can totally wait because Ariel Cohen sent me a really nasty text that I'm happy to share. So DVR, share. You got to talk. We got to get the ball to DVR. We got to feed the big man down low.
I think you showed tremendous restraint by not opening the show with the nasty text from Ariel, and you should be commended for that. But I think Jack Flaherty and Frankie Montas were actually at a crossroads decision for me in TGFBI. It's kind of weird. We didn't talk about this beforehand, even though we could have. I think I've realized that Frankie Montas has been undervalued so far this draft season. The stuff is good. The command is good. The durability's been there. I mean, he's got 240 innings going back to the shortened season. His workload is up there among the league leaders right now. He's still in a pitcher-friendly environment in Oakland. If he gets traded, he ends up on a better team. So he's in a good spot right now, and I think what I didn't realize until I had to make the decision was that I like Montas more than Flaherty. I like Montas as much as I like Max Fried and Jose Berríos and a lot of other guys. I had him probably 10 spots lower until I was faced with the decision to actually make a pick between these guys. And I think it's interesting that you could spend your entire winter ranking players, projecting players, and thinking about players. And as you start building rosters and actually going through the process of a draft or an auction, your opinions change a little bit when you actually have to do it. It's really kind of fascinating to me that you could stare at the numbers for hours and hours and hours and think you have it, but then when you're on the clock, you actually do something a little bit different because you see something a slightly different way when the horn goes off, as we just heard for Nando a couple minutes ago.
Wait, you guys couldn't hear that though, right?
No.
That's funny.
I didn't hear it.
But you reacted to it, so we definitely know what happened.
I thought it was like Ian's, one of his alerts on his phone. I'm like, here we go again.
Time to do push-ups.
Burpees.
Yeah, it was an air horn.
Which way did you go, DVR?
So I didn't actually get to choose Montas, but I had both of them available. And I said, all right, I've got Montas ahead of Flaherty. There's eight picks between my turns. I'm going to take something else here and then wait and see who falls because I think they're close enough. And actually, the room also preferred Montas, so Flaherty was the one that fell. And I was kind of bummed, and that's when I knew. Like, yeah, if I had actually had the choice between the two, I would have taken Frankie Montas. There's less injury risk there. I think that's the one part of Jack Flaherty that I have been ignoring probably to my peril so far this draft
season. Did you take Flaherty? Did you take him?
I have him. Yeah, I have him.
So we all three took Jack Flaherty this week.
How about that?
There was no chance that I was drafting Jack Flaherty. There's just no chance. And then it was a no-brainer when I got to it. Actually, this is a good decision. I have two things I want to say. The first thing is I want to give a tip to people. If you're deciding between two players, I think I said this in season two, but it's worth a repeat. If I'm deciding between two players, what I do is I take out a quarter and I say, okay, Montas is heads, Flaherty is tails, and then I toss it. And it doesn't matter what it lands on. All that matters is what do you hope it lands on? Because that's the guy you want.
There should be more. All right, that one's not that. I didn't just hear that one by myself. That was an Ian Ding.
That was just
you. That was an Ian Ding.
All right. All right.
Okay. All right.
Just make sure. Hey, that's actually great. You sounded like Tony Robbins right there.
Oh, all right. Well,
I think that's a compliment. He's still a reference. Yeah, he's still a thing.
No, I just had to shut off all my stuff. So that was the first thing I wanted to share with people. If you don't know, like I do that with Robert Mershak, who is my teammate and partner in so many of these leagues. We were deciding which way to go with something, and I said, "All right, heads or tails?" And he's like, "Or is it really going to come down to that?" And I was like, "No, it's just about what you hope happens. We'll tell me what you really want." And so it's fun to do, especially in a draft, slow draft, where you have the time to kind of go, oh, wow. So I do want to share this story. It was the fifth round. I had taken Betts and Ohtani. I had the 15th pick. So I took Betts at the wheel in the first, and then I took Ohtani in the second.
Ohtani in and out as both, or did you have to choose?
Yeah, and Ohtani the way you do it, right?
Well, you have to choose.
You have what? You
yeah, they're saying him.
These two players in town again. Yeah. Same as Ben.
All right, so he's two players in town. Okay, yeah. Though that's not going to play for me because I'm playing NL only in tout this year, so no show of Towny. That's fine. I don't have to deal with that. So then I went Iglesias at 45, and then I went Buxton at 46. And the reason I went Buxton at 46 is because there's an overall. And if Buxton stays healthy, he could be a top 10 player.
And there was also a 1% chance he was going to be there at 75.
Yes, no chance. And the pitchers that I was considering, though, as I said, I'm going to hold off on pitching. Remember I said that early in this offseason. I said, I don't want to pay for pitching at the top. I want to pay for pitching around 6, 7, 8. Like, that's where I think the value in the pitching comes in. So then it came to 5, 6, and available was Berrios, Gausman, Cease, Musgrove, Charlie Morton, Logan Webb, Alec Manoa, Nathan Eovaldi, Luis Castillo, Frankie Montas, Yu Darvish, Jack Flaherty, Trevor Rogers, Justin Verlander. And I said, and everyone was taking hitters, so all these pitchers were dropping. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm not going to take any of these pitchers because I don't like any of them enough. More than any of the rest of them. Like, I kind of put them all, not all in the same. I think if I was going to take two pitchers, I think I would probably would have taken Musgrove and Logan Webb. But I said, you know what? I'm going to take care of Arenado. I'm going to take care of third base with Arenado at value. And I'm going to take care of Corey Seager and get that average up because Ohtani's average isn't quite high enough for such a high round pick. So I'm going to take Seager also, and I'm not going to take any pitching. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. With no starters. And the thought process was, so then I get a text message. I guess I'm there. I get a text message from Ariel. Did I tell you guys what he wrote? Or I just said there was a weird text.
You said it was a nasty text message.
Man, yeah.
I didn't say it was nasty. I didn't say nasty. I didn't mean nasty. He writes to me and he says, you have no starting pitchers through 6 rounds. And then nothing.
Wait,
right?
Please tell me, is he not in your league? Because that would make this a thousand times funnier.
No, he's not in my league. No.
This is amazing.
He's following along. He's following along.
Yes.
He says, you have no starting pitchers through 6 rounds. And then this was the, and then I didn't answer right away because I was like, yeah, that's right. I think I was working or whatever. And then he writes, you good with that?
I don't know why. In my mind, as I'm picturing this, I'm picturing the NES Legend of Zelda, you know, the original one with the red lettering on the cartridge, the gold cartridge, red lettering. And I'm picturing Ian walking into a cave to speak to Ariel instead of calling him on the phone. And I'm picturing an 8-bit Ian and an 8-bit Ariel and the white text going across the screen. And it's hilarious. And I don't know if anyone else would picture that and think it's as funny as I do. I don't know why.
Picking up what you're putting down.
I don't know why this is happening to me right now. What are you guys doing to my brain?
So it's like when you say, what is going on here?
Yeah. Are you fine with it? Of course, right, you right, did right. it. You consciously did it. Like, you chose to do it based on what the room was doing. And if you were at the other end of the draft order, your team could look completely different. You might have been more pitching heavy because there were good pitchers that you liked better than the cluster available there. I think this is why I keep saying you have to be willing and able to play multiple strategies, because the board looks totally different if you're at one end versus the other. If you're in the middle, maybe you can get away with having fewer strategies in your pocket. But on an end especially, the team I'm building in TGFBI looks nothing like any team I've built so far this draft season. I think of the 11 players I've got so far, maybe 7 or 8 haven't been on any other team that I've built so far. It seems pretty weird at first. You're like, do I like this team? And then the more you do, the further you get into it, the way you see the pieces come together, I think you get more confidence. Oh, yeah, I've got good balance. I don't have the holes that I had when I built the team the other way. But, yeah, I think what you described in there, Ian, there's 8 or 10 players and no one really pops from that group, that's a great reason to just kick the can on pitching or saves or whatever it is you're looking at where you see a cluster of players that are pretty similar. That's a great time to go get something else, because you see a surplus of similar players, and it's very unlikely that entire cluster, even with a run of starting pitching, that all of those guys are going to be gone before it comes all the way back to you.
There are 15 pitchers, and there are 30 picks between my two picks and next. And other people have taken pitchers, but everyone's taking hitters. And what I wanted to do from the wheel, and one of the reasons I like being on the ends, is I can then sort of change the direction of the draft. So Arenado and Seager, I was getting at cost. The next hitter that was taken was Rendon, and he was taken at 95. And his ADP, not that ADP is anything, his ADP was 110. And that's what I was trying to do. So I was getting Arenado and Seager. No. Rendon was taken at 80. And his ADP was 110, which is exactly what I was going for. Because then there was a run on all these other hitters, and everybody was reaching for hitting, because hitting was drying up. And I was trying to do that with the two hitters from that wheel spot. And so, all right, so I call him up.
Of course, man. You can't reply with a text.
No. I waited, and I was annoyed about something else, so I called him. I said, hello, Ariel.
Oh, yeah, hey, how you doing?
I said, Ariel, what did that last text mean?
Oh, well, you know, I mean, I noticed that you don't have any starters, and it's six players in.
I said, yeah, no, I understood that, but what about the second one?
Oh, yeah, I mean, are you good with that?
I said, Ariel, yes, I clearly I'm good with that. I actually pressed draft.
I understand that you're good with it, because obviously you have to be good with it because you took those players. But I guess I'm just trying to understand the strategy here. Like, what's your strategy? Why would you do that?
So I explained to him. And in the process, you know, and when you get into a high-end conversation with Ariel Cohen, like he knows the answer, or believes he knows the answer. So he was waiting for me so he could, you know, actuarially take me down. You know, just brick by brick, and just point out why I was wrong. And here's the one thing that I thought of. And he's like, well, you know, Logan Webb. I mean, Logan Webb's really good. Kevin Gausman's
really good.
And this is what I noticed, and this is what I wanted to share. Logan Webb and Kevin Gausman were two highly, you know, they're high in the ADP. And if I was going by ADP, they were clearly to get. But I went back and watched film all day of those pitchers, all of them. I watched all of them. And here's what I noticed. Logan Webb and Kevin Gausman last year, not all season, but most of the season, were pitching to one of the best defensive catchers in baseball, in Buster Posey. He was stealing pitches that were 3 inches off the plate, like regularly. Neither one of those two are going to be pitching to that guy anymore. Now Gausman's pitching in Toronto, and now Logan Webb is not going to have those extra 2 to 3 inches off the corner. And so I don't want them. I don't want them at that price. And so the idea was, all right, I'm going to wait through all of these guys, and I'm going to hold my breath, because if I don't get two good ones on the back end, then I'm wrong, right? And then Ariel's like, yeah, I told you. I mean, you're really screwed with pitching. But I came back to me, and the guy I wanted kind of was Darvish a little bit. I kind of wanted Darvish.
So Montas went in the middle. Montas was still there. I was considering Montas at the 5-6. Montas was there in the middle of the seventh. So it went another 20 picks before Montas was picked. Then I started to get nervous because all that was left was Darvish, Flaherty, and Rogers on this list. And then it was Verlander, but I wasn't going to go there. And then you drop into another level with Gallen, Baz, and Snell, and Rodon. So it comes back. Darvish gets picked two before me. And then I'm like, all right, here we go. Wilson Contreras gets picked right before me. Jack Flaherty, Trevor Rogers. So I got my two starters in the seventh and eighth round. And as always, I want to say, Ariel Cohen is my friend and a genius at this game. Well, no, I really have to say that because he was like, well, you know, you're right. I probably shouldn't have. That wasn't the smartest text. But, you know, even though I ran for president, I'm not always the smartest, Ian. So, but most importantly, and as I also pointed out, I do have Ohtani, who I can use as a pitcher in this format. So I feel really good. I feel really good. And I'm kind of happy with the way it's going. Of course, anything can change and injuries happen and everything else, but I'm pretty happy overall with the start. And I'm done talking for the rest of the show.
What are you guys doing about closers right now? Because I've noticed, like, I was looking earlier and I'm like, man, they're all gone. And it's a sixth round.
It depends. It depends on what format you're doing.
This is 15-team 5x5. We're playing the same format, aren't we?
No, we're not, because we're playing 5x5 draft 30 players and then fab every week.
Oh, this is, I'm going to draft and hold.
You're in a draft and hold. Very different.
So draft 50, but you still got to set lineups.
Right. But ours, the ones that we're in, it's draft 30 and you're making moves every week. You're picking up players and dropping players. So I took Iglesias at 45. And I haven't taken another closer yet. DVR, what have you done with closers?
In leagues where there are no in-season pickups, I'm still trying to go pretty aggressive. I would be comfortable with early, early closers if I'm sitting in the right spot. Hendricks, Hader, Iglesias, Ryan Pressly, all those guys. No issues whatsoever.
None.
I'm trying to get two out of my top 10 in draft and hold. It doesn't always work out. But in leagues where you have in-season pickups, I am finding that's a little too aggressive because you will have the benefit of throwing fab darts and making some moves and taking some chances late on your roster and turning those players off the roster later. So I think in typical leagues that the bulk of people out there are playing in, I think one like top eight closer is the optimal sort of goal. And a lot of that's going to be shaped on if you're in a draft where you're sitting in the draft order or when it makes the most sense to, you know, pass up on something else to try and lock in at least 30 saves, because you'll take your chances in that next tier. You'll hopefully find another 30 to 40 saves between the other relievers you draft. Maybe you'll get lucky and get even more than that. But, you know, I think it's more like one of those top end guys. And the mid tier guy that I like a lot right now is Blake Treinen. I think if Blake Treinen ends up being the Dodgers closer because they don't bring back Kenley Jansen, we are going to look at this earlier part of draft season and say, holy smokes, Blake Treinen in the 10th round was a ridiculous value. And in the earlier part of draft season than this, he was even going even later, right? He's already crept up quite a bit because I think there's increasing belief that Kenley Jansen will not be a Dodger once the lockout is eventually resolved. And Blake Treinen still has what I think are elite skills for a reliever, where he could be maybe a top three reliever this year with that opportunity.
Ooh, wow, three?
That good.
Nice.
I mean, he doesn't have to be a top three where he's going, right?
No, he just gets top eight.
It's 25 saves with good ratios, and you're getting him in pick 140 to 150 range. You're very happy with that. Still some risk. They could bring back Jansen, but I'm thinking it's more likely they don't than they do because they've got so much depth. Trinan's done the job and done it very well in the past.
I wonder if this is a thing where as we get deeper and deeper into the season and more games being canceled, they would just bring back Jansen just for familiarity's sake, and be like, all right, you know, we're looking at a 100 and, say, 20-game season. Let's not play any games. You know, 1 year, $20 million. Let's go win the World Series. I wonder if that timing is going to affect if it's Jansen coming back or not. Is it weird? Familiarity? I don't know if it is. I don't think it is.
That's why.
Like, stability at the end of the bullpen, right? Like, your guy, who you know.
I guess the reason why I'm more confident in him going somewhere else than coming back is the Dodgers, you know, they live right by the competitive balance tax threshold. And given that that's sort of a hot button issue within the new CBA negotiation, it doesn't seem likely to me that that's going to jump up all that much. And I think if they're going to stay close to that number or go further into the tax than they have maybe in the past. I feel like they would do it for a more impactful player than they would for a guy they don't really need. Like, as great as Kenley Jansen was at his peak, and even though he's still solid, if he went to a place and had a job of his own, he'd probably still be a fringy top 10 closer in our game. As great as he's been, I think you'd be better off trying to get a little more depth if you're the Dodgers. You know, you lost Corey Seager in free agency. Add one more position player to the group. Just keep that as a level, that offense at a level that's just untouchable.
I don't know. I see Nando's POV on this one, actually. I think his season wasn't that bad.
I mean, think you're just saying that now because you wanted to pronounce my name correctly and do it as many times.
Well, nice for covering.
Good point, Nando, Derek.
Well, Nando, you know, there was some fall off at the end of the season, but he looked better last year than he has in quite some time. I also think the Dodgers have lots of bats that they like in their system, you know? I mean, Miguel Vargas is coming up. Max Muncy will be coming back. I'm not sure. They got Gavin Lux, who Nando loves. They got Chris Taylor. They've got AJ.
So does Jen Piacenti, by the way.
Hey, go to Jen. You know what I mean? That this, I don't know that if he gets $15 million to come back for a year. I don't think 20. I think you're right on 20. Otherwise, I would have given him the 18.6. But I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked. I just keep having this image of him in, like, Toronto for some reason. That's who I think could pay. Someone's going to pay.
That. I could see that.
Someone's going to pay for Jansen. And that's why I'm not drafting Jordan Romano anywhere.
Well, it might be a little ways off.
I just don't trust it. But, you know, interesting conversation.
Our fantasy baseball draft kit's out. And I feel like I should mention, like, we have Greg Jewett writing for us. And he put his rankings, top 60 rankings out, and these turbulence ratings, which are really cool. He's a very creative thinker. But he's also probably like the guy. Like, we brought him in because he's like the guy for closers. Like, he's just like honed in on closers, and he knows closers better than anybody. He follows them better than anybody. So,
okay. And Mike Kirlin joined us, right?
Oh yeah. So, well, I mean, Jewett was in context, but yeah, Kirlin and John Legeza. Legeza's amazing. Just read his stuff. Like, he reading his stuff. That, like, there's no filter between John Legeza the person and John Legeza the analyst. So, like, you can read his stuff in his voice, and it's just a rollicking good time, but it's so smart and so deep, and something's coming up tomorrow, and he made me a believer in Charlie Blackman.
Yeah, I'm a believer.
Yeah, with, like, a home hard hit rate, I think. There's a stat in there that's crazy.
What is Kirlin doing for us?
Kirlin does lineups. I don't know. Awesome. Like, I think I talked about him on the show last year. I definitely...
You did.
I feel like everything I've done in my career to this point has brought me to just be happy that I can... grab a guy like Mike Kirlin and add him to a staff.
Well, you know, you're like the GM of the Athletic Fantasy.
Yeah, there you go.
Start every email with hello friends, which is appreciated.
I know.
Why don't you tell us, Nando, why don't you tell us where your Tout Wars draft is so far?
Round six.
And who have you taken?
Oh, so you know what? I have Mike Trout. I've never had Mike Trout ever on any team. I have Mike Trout everywhere so far. I got Mike Trout again. You know what's funny? Hold on. I don't know what number pick I am, really.
You should probably look.
Well, I can't. Now, like, the way Fantrax is, I can't scroll up and down. I'm not on the board.
You're going to get horned again.
Okay, no. Who else did you take?
There's a long... okay, so I got Mike Trout. Yeah. And then Shane Bieber.
Okay.
And then either Julio Urias or Wander Franco I took next. I don't know. I can't
remember. You took Julio Urias.
Oh, actually, it says it right here. I took Julio Urias, 340, yeah. Third round, 40th overall. Wander Franco, fourth pick, 51st overall. And then Austin Riley was still there in the fifth round, the 70th overall. And okay. You all heard me take Jack Flaherty at 681.
All right. So you do not have any closers. And you're in a 50 team.
15 team league, yeah.
Yeah. You're going to have to get some closers.
I got Jewett. I got his rankings.
Okay.
I'm good.
And where does Jewett have Kenley Jansen on that list?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Do you want me to look it up?
Well, you were just talking about how he's got this top 60 while we were talking about Jansen. So
but I didn't memorize where he put Kenley Jansen.
I kind of thought that it was, you know, it was there somewhere.
Funson edited him in. He has a much more, hold on, here we go. Let me go to the rankings part of our page. Go to Greg Jewett. Welcome to this ride, everybody. Top 60 RP rankings, an introduction to bullpen turbulence ratings. And more. Let's go. Scroll all the way to the bottom. Let's see. Oh, you know, I'm just going to put Janssen. No, now I'm hitting all the stuff where he wrote about Janssen as a... Are you happy you did this, Ian? You stopped the entire show.
High-quality podcast.
Make sure you give us 5 stars. All right, Kelly Janssen, number 7.
Number 7.
Yep.
See, that's what... I don't know. DVR, what do you think? That's what I'm seeing a lot of, is Janssen 7 to
Jordan
8,
Romano's
9?
8.
Yeah, yeah. So, but DVR, you're kind of against that. You do not believe that. Or do you think that Janssen signs elsewhere and does well? Or do you think this is, you know, the train ticket is up and can't use it anymore? It's expired.
I don't think another contending team would sign him, like a great contending team would sign him to be like a seventh inning guy. I think a team that goes out and gets him just wants him to be the ninth inning guy so they can figure everything else out. So I have Kenley Janssen, 10th, I think, overall in my reliever rankings.
Where are you? Can you read the top 10?
He's 10th for NFBC, too.
Yeah, I've got him 9th. I have Hayter Hendricks, Classe, Iglesias, Presley, Edwin Diaz, Chapman, Trinan, Janssen, Kimbrough. But this is the problem.
Wow.
Trinan, that's very high on Trinan.
I have this problem with Trinan, and I have this problem with Justin Verlander, where I know the market is not nearly as high as I am on those two players, and you have to play some sort of snake draft chicken game to not grossly overpay. With Trinan, I think it's actually easier than Verlander. I mean, if you said,
absolutely,
who would you rather 100%. Have straight up, Verlander or Jack Flaherty in a mixed league, I would actually take Verlander straight up over Jack Flaherty this year.
Would you? Well, wait a minute. When you took Flaherty, was Verlander gone?
He was not, but I thought I could have both. I got greedy, I was wrong because Verlander went, I think, 2 picks before my turn in the 8th round. So you will guess wrong sometimes by trying not to overpay, but then if you, you know, if you're not willing to just take players in the order you have them, you have to accept those times when you guess wrong. That's the cost of being greedy in this case.
Turns out I have the 10th pick, by the way.
Okay, 10th pick. So,
all right. Does that change anything? I don't know. Does that change anything?
I mean, no. But that's that same question about chicken. Like, it is possible that Trout falls to 20.
Oh, come on. No way.
Oh,
get
yeah.
Get out of here, man.
Oh, yeah.
Are you playing OBP in the draft and hold for Tout Wars?
Oh, are you playing OBP?
I hope so. That's how I'm drafting this team.
You better take a look, because if you're playing OBP...
Yeah, I think
OBP,
Tout went all the OBP. Where do I find rules?
You're going to want to double check that. Just to be sure.
Yeah, it's important.
Dear
it's
Mr. Zola, important. What are the rules?
Oh, don't do that to Todd.
No, don't.
Please don't,
should,
please
should
don't
I do
that
to Todd.
Todd. That. No, all don't right, do fine. It. Don't do it. Leave Todd alone. He's the man, though. I do enjoy that Todd Zola. Calling Todd Zola and making trades with Todd Zola is fun. I am a fan of that.
He's funny on. He's got funny Facebook.
Yes, funny
missives.
Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
He all is. Right, so where are you guys at? In TGFBI, like where, like are you both? Are you in a good pace league?
Decent. How where are you, DVR?
I just made my 12th round pick, and I had another one of these little issues where I took Luis Severino with the pick because I had him higher than Logan Gilbert and Sonny Gray, and I think based on what the room tends to do, both Gilbert and Gray usually go earlier, but the gap here is pretty small. It's not as much as it is with Verlander compared to where I have him ranked, and even Trinan compared to where I have him ranked and where he's starting to go in more recent drafts. So I think with Severino, people are forgetting how good he was before the injuries. I know there's elevated
it's
risk
a lot
for
of
sure.
Injuries.
Lot, I mean, a it's lot a of lot injuries. Of lost time, but he's dealt with the AL East. He's dealt with Yankee Stadium. Being a right-handed pitcher in Yankee Stadium where lefties get that boost, and he's had monster seasons, 2 seasons with over 190 innings with great ratios, well over 200 Ks, obviously a good bullpen to protect his leads as well. So, I mean, this is a really good spot, this pick 175 range to get Severino. I think going back to previous drafts I've done,
175, okay.
Are you willing to take on more than one guy with this significant lost time profile? And I don't think I would want to do that in draft and hold leagues. I think in leagues where you could make moves, and again, this is mostly people playing, I think you can have a couple guys like this because depending on the number of teams in the league, replacement level is high enough if you get burned, if they get hurt again, you're not completely screwed. In a 12-team league, I think you could have 2 or 3 guys like that. In a 15-team league, it's probably 1, maybe it's 2 if you're a really good player off the waiver wire.
I got to say, Severino makes me so nervous. I just can't, I don't find myself grabbing him at this point.
Isn't there somebody who said, I mean, he got it fixed.
Yeah, 2 years in a row.
Back at the end of the year, though.
2 years in a row.
They were related. Yeah, though, yeah. Right? I mean, weren't they related?
Yeah, but two. I mean, I don't know. As a Yankee fan, I'm not counting on Severino to throw more than 100 innings this year.
He's really important for them to be a legitimately good team this year. I think they need quality from him.
I agree. I just don't know that he's going to be capable of doing it. I just think he's going to tire out. I don't know. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong because it would help the team. Where did you
wait? I'm okay with tiring out. You're worried he's going to just tire out, like after like 140 innings or something.
I'm worried he's going to end up on the injured list, and after he's on the injured list in TGFBI, you only have 30 slots. There's no injured list. So you carrying an injured player eventually becomes really problematic. You end up dropping them, and then someone else picks them up for August and September for $3 about 2 weeks before he's supposed to come back. That's the image that I have in my head about Severino and something like this. If there was an IL in the league, I'd feel more comfortable. But it makes me nervous, though I'm the guy who took Corey Seager and Byron Buxton. So, you know, what the hell do I know?
I think Seager has only moderate injury risk. The major injury was hip surgery. He hasn't had any problems with his hip since then. I think, wasn't it a hand injury last year? Did he get hit by a pitch?
Yeah, they both did.
I mean, yeah, Buxton, he has what I call accident-prone and injury-prone problems in his past, right? When you have both, it's so ugly in terms of missed time, but accidents they're accidents. They're just that, right? Collisions with walls might be the way you play the game, but you can modify that. You can be less aggressive trying to make plays in the outfield. Getting hit by pitches, totally random, unless you set up in a position where you're like over the plate and going to get hit more. Some guys do that. I don't think Buxton is necessarily, you know, one of them, right? So I don't know. I think
didn't get out of the way.
Well,
that's a talent.
That is a skill, but it's probably a lot easier said than done. I like Buxton. I think he makes too a lot of sense where he's going. It's just, again, balancing.
I reached. I mean, he was going 55 and I took him 45. So that's a bit of a reach. But like you said, no way he's coming back to me. And in an overall, not that I'm going for an overall, I have a pretty high ranking in the overall for TGFBI over the course of four seasons or however long they've been doing it. I'm pretty high up there and I want to stay up there. So I don't care if I win the overall. I mean, I'd love to win the overall. Who doesn't want to win the overall? But I want to just do a really good job every season, stay in the top three, and, you know, hold my rank.
Oof. What do you think the odds of Byron Buxton winning the AL MVP are?
3%, I want to say.
I didn't mean in a percentage. I mean, like, at what price point would you be interested? If he's 35-1, would you put money on that?
Well, that's 3% is 35-1, isn't it?
I'm taking your number and turning it into some odds.
Got it. But okay. Yeah, I would do that.
At what number is that a good bet? 35-1 on Buxton? I bet he's longer odds than that.
I bet he's 12. Oh, I thought you had it pulled up. I can look that up if you want.
I'm getting there slowly.
Right. 35-1? 35-1 is the right number.
I bet you Buxton's more like 18 or 22.
No. Too much injury risk. Yeah,
because listen, you got to set these odds. But you're not. These odds aren't always exactly what, you know, the science says they should be. They're designed to pull people in, or, you know, to
BetMGM has them at plus 4,000. So I all right, that's pretty good. Those are pretty good numbers off of the top of it. Ian ripping off 3%, me putting it at plus 3,500, and it being plus 4,000. I'm proud of everybody here. I feel like we all contributed something.
Look at us, aren't we?
Good teamwork,
fancy.
Everybody.
Good team. What is actually happening here? That was my favorite tweet of the week when someone, you know, when people tweet about something that happens on the show, when the guy, I forget the gentleman's name, but he said my favorite moment is like, oh, he called it fan service when, you know, I did a little Ariel and you did what is happening here is genuinely a fun moment.
It was Ariel it was Cartman as Ariel or Ariel doing Cartman.
Right. That was it. Screw you guys. No, Mike Cartman is just Cartman. It's not Ariel. By the way, Ariel Cohen is a pretty good impressionist himself. He just he doesn't do it on his show because he takes it all a little too seriously. He did an episode of Under the Radar, but we never aired it.
It was very good.
It was very funny. I haven't thought about that in a minute. Yeah, so he's a funny guy. And he's really good at fantasy baseball. He'll let you know.
All right, let's move on.
All right, moving on.
So stay tuned for, I guess, next week. By then, we should be rounds 15 to 20, I would hope, right?
We'll be done by next week.
No. Tout Wars is moving very slowly.
Tout Wars, it may be, but TGFBI will be done. By the time we do next week, we will be done.
All right, so we'll talk about a little deep, guys.
All right. Well, we're not going to get too deep. We're 30 rounds, so it's only 450 players. We won't get as deep as you will. You're going to be deep, 450 to 750. That's your money, baby.
Oh man, I took down some names and I wrote the names down and then forgot where I wrote them down. Like they're so. I'm like James Proctor and Drew Mount. Trent Rosecrans wrote about him in a preview of the Reds. I think like the 40-man roster, like these guys who could do an okay job in camp and maybe shine or where their prospect. I don't even remember what this title was, but I saw I got this Word file and I put these names down, and all I put after Drew Mount was HRs, and after Proctor all I have is Sin. So I don't know why I like them. I got to go back and look at everybody again.
just look at their stats. You'll remember. All right, tell us about the score sheet lead, the score sheet keepers.
So my score sheet keepers are due the 8th, whatever day that is. Okay. This is a very, like, I've built a team. I am very bad every year. I was good for a while. I was hitting like 500. And then at a certain point, it's like you're mediocre. You just make the playoffs. You just miss the playoffs. And it's kind of like, I got to tear this down and rebuild it. It's a 24 team score sheet league with a lot of industry people in it. And I've been kind of in a rebuild for like 5 years. And it's just been accruing draft picks. Like I got Vlad Guerrero. I got Tatis. I got Spencer Torkelson. I got a lot of good keepers.
So how? That's very good. How many guys do you get to keep?
You can keep 10, and then you can keep unlimited minor leaguers.
Nice.
Okay. And who has still minor league eligibility? They're not, you know, whatever. If they still have minor league eligibility, they have a little M next to them. You can keep unlimited them. Sure. Yeah. So I was, you know, I'm going through. Do I like Forrest Whitley? So okay, so the minor leaguers start counting in the back end of your draft. So like you're round 40, maybe it's round 35 or whatever, is your first minor league keeper. 34 is your next, 33, 32, 31. So you are losing capital at the end, if that makes sense.
Got it. Yes. There's a league that I do that uses, Chris Fargus started a league that I'm part of that does this as the draft. Yes.
So I had some, like I got Forrest Whitley, Davey Garcia, Mike Bauman, Nolan Gorman. Those are my last cuts, but I actually ended up keeping Gorman. Well,
you've chose wisely.
Yeah, but wait, yeah. Who did you drop? Because all those guys are to be kept.
I dropped Whitley, I dropped Garcia, I dropped Bauman.
Okay.
As of right now, I mean, I could put him back on.
Didn't we talk about Forrest Whitley last week and talk about him being a...
Keep unlimited.
No, but no. Keep unlimited minor leaguers. That's a... You could hold... I don't know, man.
I think I can get... No one's going to jump on Forrest Whitley in like the 15th round, though. You know what I mean? Like, I can still grab him, I think.
Yeah, but it's the back end of your draft.
I looked at his numbers when we started talking about him again, and they weren't good before he got hurt, really. He's prospect, but I mean, like, nothing's come of it.
Okay.
I don't know. I could always put him back in. I got to the 8th. Well, that's why I want to bring it up on the show, selfishly.
That's why we're talking about it. We talked about it last week. Both DVR and I both said that we thought that Forrest Whitley was a decent keep, as long as you didn't have to pay much for him. It sounds like you don't got to pay hardly anything for him.
Well, I'd have to give up, like...
Your 50th round pick.
Well, no, it'd be 35, 34, 33. If I keep 10, that means I'm up to like 26th round.
Yeah, but you just said that nobody's going to take him in the 15th round. So why would you give up keeping him in the 26th round to take him in the 15th round? That doesn't
I'm
make
just saying
sense.
I can grab him again in like the 29, you know, whatever, late. I don't think anyone's going to get him. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see.
I think you hold Forrest Whitley. But you know what? Do what you want.
Oh, maybe I'll put him on a trade block.
No one will pay for him. That's one of those players that you got to ride it with.
Yeah, but you know what happens? A lot of people set like, so now all these things are coming out. Oh, here are some players available. And you know it's the guys that, you go look at their team, like, oh, these are like your 11, 12, 13s. You know, like, you're not going to keep them.
Oh, right. So if you're thinking about it that way, then if you could get a guy from their 11, 12, 13 and give them a bunch of guys from the back end, yeah, then that makes sense. Then yes, then Whitley would be a decent piece to add. But please hold on to... There's no reason to drop MJ Melendez.
I'm not dropping MJ Melendez. No, we're the,
oh, okay.
Yeah. No, those are the guys I'm keeping. So A through R are my keepers. So Frankie Montas. That's who. So one of the guys, I think Nate Stevens, the commissioner, had him on the list of the people, you know, who are available. Maybe I'll give him Forrest Whitley for Frankie Montas.
You won't get that.
Are you sure? He's going to cut him. He's going to wait for someone to offer something for Montas, and then he's going to cut him.
Why would he cut him? That's a
you don't offer decision. These guys in this league unless you're going to cut them. This is like your trash.
Not necessarily. That's not how I'd play it. I would, because think about it. You give up, Montas can't be any worse than a seventh or eighth keeper. He just can't be, unless he's the champion, if he's the returning champion.
I think he might be. I don't remember. I think Selfino won, actually.
So 8 or 9, whatever. But no, he's not going to give you, you're not going to be able to get Whitley for him. But if you could get Montas instead of Tristan McKenzie, Nestor Cortez, Loasaga.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
I would do it in a heartbeat. Zach Lowther. With all those guys.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare. We love Zach Lowther on the show.
And there's your opening for the show. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. All right, so yeah, try to get Montas. It's going to be so much more expensive than you think.
Is it? I don't think you put a guy on the block like that. And hey, you know, I'll take prospects and picks.
You know the league better than we do, so take the shot. But I think if Montas is available, I think he'd be. And you need pitching. That's a great ad for you.
Yes, you got to keep him over Loasaga, Cortez, or McKenzie. It's not even close.
All right, well, I'll send him a note and just be like, "What's the deal with Montas?" Also, don't listen to the podcast if you do.
Well, the podcast isn't coming out until Friday, so you got some time.
All right, let me get on this right now.
That's right.
Get him on the phone. Still awake? Get him on the phone. Get it done. Yeah.
Getting on the phone is very, very valuable.
You guys should join up as co-managers. We'll have fun.
No.
Score sheet almost ruined my marriage.
Vlad Jr., Tatis.
Did you hear what he just said? Did you? You're burying the lead. He just said that score sheet league almost cost him his marriage.
That's crazy.
So that's worth noting. DVR is not going to want to go into that. I have a thought, though, about Dynasty
Leagues.
Well,
he brought it up on a podcast.
Yeah, he moved through it quickly, and I'm moving through it now, too. I have a thought that I want to share with people about. I've been talking to a lot of friends, and they call me up, and they say, hey, look, I took over this Dynasty League, and this team sucks, but, you know, I said I would do it. I just want to say to everybody out there, if you get offered to join a Dynasty League, to take over a team, there's two reasons to do it. One, it's a good team that you're excited to join. Or two, you're going to be playing with a higher level of player than you've played with in the past. So it's almost like a promotion, right? So you'll take over. I remember when I joined DL1 all those years ago, I took over Andrea Lamont's team. I joined that because I wanted to play with, you know, with these players who were really great players. And I was not at that level yet. So I said, okay, I'll take it over because I want to be in that league. Marcus Potter, Alex Cushing, Rich Wilson, Tim McLeod. Like it was a really good league that I wanted to get into. If you're not taking over a team that advances you as a player or that you think you can win with in a couple of years, don't do it. Don't do it. If you get a chance to play, if I invite you in the league, when you get to play with Derek Van Riper and Nando DeFino, and it's not that great of a team, fine, but you get to play with Derek Van Riper and Nando DeFino. But don't just like, oh, well, my friend said take it over.
I'm not
so
good
did,
in season.
Now,
I'm not a good in season player, though.
I was being nice.
I'm not a lot of fun to have in the league.
You're very fun.
I'll do the bare minimum. I'll make pickups, but I don't like, I'm not posting on message boards or answering phone calls.
I'm making a different point. I invited Chris Mayer into Maki, right? The Baseball Pods, our friend from Baseball Pods. Is it Mayer? Is it Chris, if I got your name wrong, my apologies.
Yeah, God forbid you do that.
That's funny. Yeah. I invited him into Maki. And he was like, yeah, I want to play. I want to be in a keeper league with you, with Derek Van Riper. Yeah, I'll do it. Sure, sure, sure. The team's not going to be good right away. But hey, I get to play with some good players and Clay Links in that league. You know, I'll do it. And he was great. And he was a great league mate. And he made his team better. And he was very active. So I invited him into Devil's Rejects with Ken Balderston, who's another great player that I've been playing with in DL1, that other league. And I invited both of them in. And they got to join Devil's Rejects, which is talked about. It's an industry league. It's a really good league. They're taking over really bad teams. It's going to take them 4 or 5 years, but they get to play with Eno Saris and with James Anderson and with Jeff Pontus and just great, great players.
You've missed two sound effects this show, by the way.
That's all right. All right. Yeah. Ding, ding. Eno Saris. Eno doesn't have a sound effect. So anyway, I just really, I have friends who call me up and they're like, can you help? And I'm like, yeah, get someone to take over your team. That's my, you took it over a year ago and it looks like this and it's not going to get any better. Get a partner and hand it off. That's what I would recommend. Don't just leave a league. Don't leave anybody in the lurch, but don't take over teams.
What about monetary considerations? Like if you're going to take over a crappy team, should someone be like, we'll pay your fee this year. We'll waive your fee this year.
Yeah, but even then don't do it. It's not about the money. It's about the time. It's about the frustration.
Also, I mean, you're putting money. If you say, hey, this league's $200. Why would I take over a horrible team that needs like a 3-year rebuild?
We did that in DL1. We gave an owner that we're all friends with. We gave an owner a couple of years of freebies on that. And it was good for him. Look, if you get to play in a league like Devil's Rejects, here's the upside of it. You get to watch the other league mates make moves and you get to learn stuff from it. And they go like, wow, why the hell would he do that? Oh, there's a reason. Oh, and then you can invent your game. That's the idea. But if you're not advancing your game, don't take over a crap team. That's it. Right. I wanted to share that with everybody because I just wanted to share that. The person knows who I'm talking about too, because I said this to them on the phone and I wasn't even trading with them.
You could tell us off air. It's probably Steve Gardner.
No, it was not Steve Gardner. No. Steve's great.
It was probably Dr. Scott.
No, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it, but I'll tell you.
All right, we got
to go. Do we have to go?
It's been an hour.
What are you doing? Well, yeah. You know, I've been noticing other people do podcasts for like an hour and 33 minutes.
Take it up with the boss.
DVR's right, though. An hour is good. Just get him in, get him out.
I think he actually wants 45 minutes, but...
No. Yeah. No. DVR, Derek Van Riper, do you want us to cut down to 45 minutes?
I really have no preference.
Let's go 2 hours, then.
If you have 90 minutes worth of content, give everybody 90 minutes. If you have 45 minutes worth of content, don't take 90 minutes to give out 45 minutes worth of content.
And based on tonight, we're screwed.
Yeah, right. We broke our own rule.
We really did. But hey, the things have changed. There's no, we were expecting at this point, and at this point, people should be signing. We should be talking about who's going to be the closer, who's doing well in spring training. We're still talking about some of the old stuff. So it's unfortunate. It's sad, but at least we get to get together every week and do the show, which is awesome.
That's all that matters. We're going to be here lockout or no?
Yeah, we will.
So get excited.
This is unbelievable. Frank Schwindel and Cody Bellinger have the same odds to win the NL MVP.
I would put down $12 on Byron Buxton winning the MVP.
Where'd you get $12 from?
Yeah, why not 10?
I don't know, because I want that extra $2. That's like, what is that, 400 and... What's the math?
It's good.
480?
Yeah, 480.
480? Yeah, so...
You don't actually have to do the math 10. Anymore. You can just put it right into the site.
Let's use fantasy and sports betting to at least exercise our brains and make us do a little bit of math.
Well, you'd get your 12 back, too, so I think you'd walk away with 492 then.
Before we leave, because I'm not ready to go yet, it's a show after dark. It's a Nando after dark.
Yeah, I don't hear any ice. So.
That's a Yeti for water, sir.
What is that, your latrine? Yeah, right.
It's my water bottle. Don't be freaking funny, because we already have the opening of the show. What's the matter with you? I'd love to do like three more... And actually, Nada, why don't you pick them out, and Derek and I can guess what the odds are.
Oh, this is okay.
What we would put the odds are.
I got the whole grid in front of me, yeah. So
maybe we'll go the other way.
Maybe I should throw the numbers out there.
Yeah.
Wait, now I'm looking at it. So
we'll stop looking at it, Nando. Yeah,
what are you doing, Nando?
Nando, stop looking at it. What are you doing? Nando.
All right.
Actually, why wouldn't it be Nando? Isn't it Fernando?
It's Ferdinando.
Ah, the
Italian.
It's the de Ferdinando. I love it. That's so cool. That's why you're so cool, man.
Thanks.
You're so cool.
Thanks, pal.
You're so cool.
Thanks,
you
guy
are.
I've known for 4 years who just discovered my name.
4 years? I've called you Nando forever, but for some reason I called you Nando, and I'm going to go with it. All right, DVR, give us a test.
I'm just waiting for the alternate pronunciations of Ian's name that Nando's going to unhatch.
There's no way to do it.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to do it. Are you kidding? Every girlfriend I ever had when I was growing up had a mother who never got my name right. DJ LeMahieu, by the way, fell really far. 140th pick. DJ LeMahieu. That's pretty fall. That's pretty far fall.
That is a far fall, and I think there's a lot of evidence on this podcast that we need to donate our brains to science when our time on this earth is over, because there's just something a little off with all three of us.
Cool.
There's
Give
proof.
Us three.
I mean, there's just proof right there.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
That's why
go.
It works.
Okay, here's a fun one.
Most entertaining. Everyone said we were so entertaining, especially you, Nando. Go ahead.
NL MVP. Let's go Pete Alonso. What do you think the odds are on that one?
This is BetMGM?
BetMGM, yep.
All right.
Pete Alonso for NL MVP. Nando, you first.
Well, he's a Met. And I know they skew New York. They bring it down a little bit. Pete Alonso, National League MVP, 35-1.
35-1, Ian?
Huh.
Are we guessing what they are, or what, like where I would bet?
Well, kind of both,
guessing where
I guess.
Is yet.
Yeah.
I'll bet 35. I would take him at 20.
3% chance? You're giving him a 3% chance? I'm going to take a 4% chance. 2,500.
Yeah.
Right? Is that it? 2,500? Yeah, 2,500.
I'm surprised. He's plus 4,000, and they're... probably going to be good this year, and I think he's going to be really good this year, and he does things that would maybe make people vote for him, right? And
$12. I'll put down $12.
You put $12 there. I mean, compared to like Vlad Jr. on the AL side is plus 450. Yeah.
Ian's going to the ATM to take out $84, exactly.
Gonna love to see a broken ATM in Ian's neighborhood because he refused to take out a normal amount of money.
I need singles. I need singles. All right, what's next? Okay.
Let's go AL MVP.
Yeah, I like AL better. I know the AL better.
AL MVP, Kyle Tucker.
Ooh.
Ian, you can go first this time.
I know I can't. I got to recuse myself because I looked this up when you were bringing up whoever was 4,000.
It's very gentlemanly of you.
I know. And also, Selfino wrote about him. I edited that one. So
dang it, Selfino.
If Vlad is 450 to 1, 450, that means he has like a 25% chance? I don't know the math. I don't understand.
I don't
know
why you're doing this math.
That's not quite how, I mean, it's not perfect for these kinds of things because they have to structure the odds based on how much money's coming in on each player, right?
Okay, I'm going to say 11% chance. 11, that's too high. 8% chance. 8% chance that Kyle Tucker wins the MVP. 8%.
Okay, well, he's plus 3,500.
Am I right?
That's 35 to 1.
So no, I'm quite a bit off.
You should be all over that bet based on how likely you said it is that he'll win the AL MVP.
That's true, all right, but I keep doing this and I'm going to get far over 100%.
$1,200 later, Ian has bet on several players to win MVP awards.
And now there goes my marriage. There goes my marriage. What's Mike Trout? Or should we guess Mike Trout? Or Nando, have you already seen Mike Trout?
I've already seen Mike Trout.
What do you think he is?
Well, everyone's like a 3% chance so far. So I'm going to say a 5% chance for Mike Trout.
Plus 400. Vegas is all in on Mike Trout just being Mike Trout again.
By the way, so I feel like it's our duty to be like, we're partners with BetMGM, and if you just go to anything that's written on our betting side, you can get a pretty good deal with a year of The Athletic for free.
Yes.
But
okay.
It's also my obligation as the managing editor of Sports Betting Section to tell you that, I mean, Mike Trout might not be 400 everywhere. You know what I mean? He might be 600 in a couple places. So
yeah.
Yeah, but what they're saying then is there's a 10 times better chance that Mike Trout is going to win the MVP over Byron Buxton?
No.
Isn't that what they're saying? If Buxton's 4,000,
they're going to get a lot more bets on Mike Trout at plus 400. So their liability is much smaller if the payout is only plus 400. Everyone's afraid to bet on Byron Buxton for MVP so they can have longer odds on him to entice people like us to say, this will be the year that Byron Buxton plays in 95% of the games and does all the good things all at once, right? So they have to put that out there to get us excited about him. Because most people are not messed up enough to actually throw $12 on Byron Buxton winning the AL MVP, even though I think it's a good idea.
Actually, I really do think it's a good idea. I mean, $12, if he does stay healthy, the only problem is one thing I just realized, there's no very little chance the Minnesota Twins are going to make the playoffs, even if there are 14 teams there. And because of that, if there's very little chance that they make the playoffs, less likely that he's going to win the MVP, right? Although Ohtani won the MVP last year. So what's Ohtani then? Like,
plus 350. He's the odds-on favorite in the AL.
And Trout's number two? All right, so just go down the list from
Ohtani
the top.
Ohtani was like, I think Ohtani might have been 40 to 1 or 20 to 1 last year. Ohtani had long odds last year when it started.
I mean, I think something I was going to spit out there as a hot take earlier is that I feel a lot of the same things about Buxton right now that I felt about Ohtani last year, where it's like, look, he's been hurt and he's missed time. He's really good if you look at the underlying numbers.
Yeah.
So, you know, buy the rookie cards.
I took Buxton for average, bro. I took Byron Buxton for his average.
There's bro. He's back.
Yes. Oh, I did.
All right, that's it.
Bro came on the bench and splashed the three from the corner.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, Byron Buxton, I'm going to go put $12 down at MGM. It's happening. It's who wants in? Who wants a piece of this action? Let me know.
You can do it. You're in New York.
Before the pandemic, we were going to drive to the sports book. You were going to pick me up. We're going to drive.
You're going to pick me up too. You guys were going to come get
days.
Me.
Like, that's
we're
right.
Come to Wisconsin
and then drive all the way back to Jersey.
Hey, if anybody wants to watch something really funny, go on I better figure out what this is. There's a go on YouTube and putting Gary Marshall, Albert Brooks. There's a scene from, I think the movie's called Modern Love, but if you put that in, and he does this whole bit about, like, he goes to Las Vegas and Albert Brooks loses all his money and Gary Marshall's playing the owner of the casino. And Albert Brooks is like, give us our money back. Everyone will be really happy, you know, and then Las Vegas will be known for heart. And Gary Marshall's like, it's not for heart. It's for gambling. If people want to, you know, shoot beavers, they go to Wisconsin. And so when I said that Wisconsin, it made me laugh. So go check that out. Gary Marshall and Albert Brooks. I promise it will make you laugh.
Better or worse than Cannonball Run?
Cannonball Run was not my call. Midnight Run was my call. You said that Midnight Run, this should have ended our friendship right here. You said Midnight Run was not as good as Cannonball Run 2.
Yeah, 2. Cannonball Run 2.
Whew.
Watch them both and let me know.
I think Nando telling me that Caddyshack 2 is better than Tommy Boy.
That doesn't make any sense.
Caddyshack 2 with Jackie Mason. I do an impression of Jackie Mason. As soon as we get off air, I will do my Jackie Mason impression.
I mean, why at this funny point, why save it for off air? We've already blown
because
past
I
the
don't
hour.
Want to do it. I did a little bit of Gary Marshall. I did a little bit of Ariel Cohen. I did some Cartman.
You did a lot.
And
you
I did
a lot.
That's
Cohen.
Enough.
That's a lot of range.
If you guys want to hear Jackie Mason next week, you know, put it in the rundown. And I'll do it. But yeah, after the show.
All right, let's remember to do that. All right, should we go now? We gotta go.
Yeah, that's it for the man.
Next week, we'll talk about a lot of this stuff. Rookie of the Year is intriguing. I got a guy.
All right.
All right, we're going to go. For the man who doesn't know how to pronounce my name, Ian Khan.
That is not true. One slip of the tongue, Tacky.
For the man who's he's going to be giving Ariel Cohen 60 coins next time he sees him for a candle, Derek Van Riper.
What? That's well done.
I'm Nando DeFino. Thank you for joining us. We hope you had fun. We'll see you later. Bye.
Good talk. Bye. Bye, Nando.